From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks, everybody. Thank you so much. We got a great show for you today. We're especially excited about today's guest, Oscar Isaac. He plays the title role in the new Coen Brothers movie, Inside Llewyn Davis. It's about the 60s folk revival in Greenwich Village. And as you can imagine, it's so exciting for us at NPR to have a movie come out that finally explores the experience of the white American. But first, we want to hear about your unique cultural heritage, so give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Karina Sahajan. I'm calling from Spokane, Washington.
Beautiful Spokane. How are things there?
Yeah, it's really cold.
Yeah, and what do you do there in Spokane?
I'm a high school English teacher, and I'm actually just starting a new job on Monday working at the Juvenile Detention Center.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, having taught in high schools before, I'm sure you're ready for a place where, you know, asocial teenagers have been locked in for the day.
Well, I don't know. This is going to be a new gig. I got a special button I get to push if I get upset, which is not what I'm used to. I'm kind of excited.
How many minutes do you think you're going to be able to go before you press that button?
We'll shoot for five. I don't know.
I hope so.
Karina,
let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning and host of the Entertainment Weekly afternoon show on Sirius XM. It's Faith Saley.
Hello there.
Hi, Faith.
Next, a comedian whose Showtime stand-up comedy special, I Come in Peace, is now available on Amazon and iTunes. It's Maz Jobrani.
Hello.
And a comedian whose new comedy CD, I Heart Jokes, Paula Tells Them in Boston, is available everywhere, including our very own NPR shop. It's Paula Poundstone.
Yay!
Well, welcome to the show, Karina. You're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you will win our prize, Carl's voice on your home answering machine. You ready to go?
I'm ready.
Here is your first quote.
An unexpected handshake, a selfie, a seat change.
Those were, according to Yahoo News, the three big events at the memorial. For whom this week?
For Nelson Mandela.
Indeed, for Nelson Mandela. That's right. Now, a lot happened at the memorial for Nelson Mandela, but the most amazing thing was the sign language interpreter. This is a guy who stood there all day, a yard away from the most important people in the world, as they gave their eulogies, and he's signing away, and it turns out he's a complete fake. Deaf people all over the world tuned in, were watching him, and they started saying to themselves, he's not making any sense. Oh no, now I'm going blind too? What's... I mean, if you watch him, he just makes these weird signs where he keeps like touching his head and then making little circles. And so deaf people who like actually speak sign language are like, he's not making any sense. Derek Jeter, though, watching it at home, immediately broke and stole for third base.
So did they pull him out during the event?
No.
No.
Wow. Just
they had
to
no
save
idea.
Face.
Is
what, oh, let him finish.
Yeah.
He's happy. He's not really bothering anybody.
I personally think that this guy just won the best bar bet ever.
What do you want to bet? I can go to the Mandela funeral and wave my hands around without getting caught.
Pretty much.
Nah, man, you are on.
Karina, here is your next quote.
They've gone from spying on a superpower in the Cold War to spying on an elf.
That was a player who enjoys World of Warcraft, the massive online game. He was responding to revelations that who had infiltrated the online world of that game.
Oh, this is the new, all the NSA surveillance?
Yes, the NSA. Okay. Very good. Bad news, nerds. New documents released by that scamp, Edward Snowden, show that the NSA started logging on to these massive online games like World of Warcraft and Second Life under assumed identities to see if terrorists were using the games to communicate. because instead of just walking over to the next cave and saying hello, it's so much more fun to log on to World of Warcraft and look for another centaur chanting Death to America.
Well, these games are so real now that you feel like somebody could actually be training. Because when I was younger, we used to play Galaga, where these spaceships would come from the sky and you would have to aim
beep,
it.
Beep, 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 beep. Yeah, very
so
simple.
So I was ready in case somebody came. I could have, you know, shot.
As long as they came in a line.
You know what I'm saying? I was prepared for that. Or if I were chased by a ball that was opening its mouth and closing it.
You're ready to go, man.
Yeah, I mean, there was no... they just thought, well, that could be a way that they could do it. They didn't... There was no evidence of that, right?
No, none whatsoever.
Okay, well, see, then that's just... That just opens the gate for, you know, they could go to my grocery store. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're over in produce. They're in canned goods. We
right.
don't, you know... So now we just have to follow everyone all the time for no good reason.
We feel the terrorists might be meeting in this resort in Jamaica. We should go check it out.
Yeah.
They're definitely at the Cheetah Lounge.
What's the Cheetah Lounge?
Strip club?
Yeah.
Sure.
What's going to be called the Cheetah Lounge other than a strip club?
Could be a place you buy cheetahs.
I thought it was a place.
No.
Everybody needs to relax.
I thought it was a place where cheetahs go to smoke. Yeah. You know, to just kick back and relax the way cheetahs like to without all the pressure of the jungle.
All right, here is your last quote.
Are your eyes tired? It's from a combination of excessive cringing and sustained weeping.
That was Kevin Fallon in the Daily Beast writing one of many bad reviews of NBC's attempt to bring what beloved musical to television last week?
It's got to be The Sound of Music.
That's right, yes!
Yeah. This is so upsetting.
As you probably know, as Paula clearly knows, NBC's big event last week was their live broadcast of The Sound of Music, starring American Idol winner Carrie Underwood as Maria and former American Idol judge Simon Cowell as the invading Nazis. Now, 38 million people watched the live broadcast. Huge event, but it's not clear how many people were just hate watching it.
Yeah, you know what it's like? It's like when there's a something's gone bad and people go, oh, smell this.
Yeah, and they invite people over because it's like so awful.
Yeah.
And what is this?
Always takers on it, you know what I mean? There's always people, don't throw it away, I didn't smell it yet.
So now, Paula, what was your objection here?
My objection is that Julie Andrews and Christopher Plummer are sacred.
Right.
And...
Now, wait a minute.
You do not recast them any more than you recast the nativity. I'm going to tell you something. It killed Eleanor Parker.
It did. This is true. Eleanor Parker, who played the Countess in the movie, happened to coincidentally, I'm sure, pass away this week at the ripe old age of 91. At age when
no coincidence.
Was not a coincidence at all.
Now...
The trouble was they cast real Broadway supporting actors. There was Laura Benanti and Audra McDonald who won Tonys, and it's just kind of, it's not fair.
You got to lower the standard.
Exactly. So everybody, it's like you choose ugly bridesmaids.
You could cast.
Well, wait a minute.
And you make them wear yellow.
I know you were married not that long ago, and I just want to thank you for not asking me to be a bridesmaid.
Carl, how did Karina do in our quiz?
Karina, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be happy to do the message on your voicemail or home answering machine.
Well done. Thank you for Karina, and good luck at that new job.
Thank you.
We want to remind everybody they can join us here most weeks at the Chase Bank Auditorium. And for our show in just a few days, December 19th in Memphis, Tennessee. For tickets and more information, go to WBEZ.org, or you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Paula, city officials in Madison, Wisconsin are coming down hard on what they consider a blight on their city. They have vowed to shut down a house that hires out professional what?
I don't know. Can you give me a hint?
Well, it's $20 if you're the little spoon, $30 if you're the big spoon.
scoop up cocaine in large and small spoons.
I thought we might get into trouble here, Paula. The spoon
is a metaphor.
Thank you. This was a business.
Yeah.
Where men,
right,
in general,
yes,
could pay to come in and do something. And quite literally, it was shut down because one of the city councilors, I think it was the city attorney, said, come on, no man ever just wants to do that.
Snuggle?
Yes!
I would have gotten that if you hadn't brought up cutlery.
The business is or was known as the Snuggle House, and it employs several professional cuddlers, also known as lazy prostitutes. The city of Madison says it's obviously a front for a prostitution ring. The jury's still out on that, but there is something suspicious about all those ladies lounging about in fishnet sweatpants.
I think if you're going to do stranger snuggling, you should volunteer at your pet shelter.
True. Go,
yeah,
just cuddle
go,
a cat.
Yeah, yeah. Go, yeah, snuggle a dog, and because they don't want to go any further.
Yeah.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Paula Poundstone, Maz Jobrani, and Faith Saley. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Adrian from Anchorage, Alaska.
Hey, how are things in Anchorage?
Great.
Yeah, sorry. We've been through there. It's a beautiful place. It's kind of cold now, I'm betting.
Yes.
Cold and dark.
Adrian, yeah, are you surrounded by tons of men? Because that's the rumor about Alaska.
I have a burly husband.
Oh, well, there you go. That's all one needs. Adrian, thank you so much for joining us. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Adrian's topic?
That's so 2013.
It's time for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, annual list of top trends. It's like Vogue magazine, except in our version, two of the things you hear are lies. Our panelists are going to tell you about three surprising new trends that emerged in the year 2013. Guess the real story. You'll win Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail. First, you ready to apply?
Absolutely.
Okay. First, let's hear from Paula Poundstone.
The healthy heart benefits of pet ownership are well known, yet many people who rent are not allowed to have pets, and many others simply can't afford the cost or the time. Enter the bedbug. That's right. Keeping bedbugs as pets is a growing and popular trend. Some say it's a sad statement on the level of loneliness and isolation among Americans, and others, like bedbug lover Rhonda Mattson, say, if you look at them really close up, they're kind of cute. Like many, Mattson came to love bedbugs the hard way. Our apartment building had had an infestation. It was awful. I had bites all over, and it took the pest control service several visits to reduce the population. Once we were down to just a few, though, it wasn't gross anymore. I got to thinking, I had a dog once who kept running away, and it made me feel awful. But here are some creatures that seem to love me so much, they've been nuked 3 times, and I still can't get rid of them. Smart Pet Incorporated has jumped on the bandwagon with a popular line of bedbug care supplies, including containers made with magnified glass, so when owners come home exhausted from a long day of work, they can see their pet bedbug's smiling face up close. The containers come with clip-on backdrops with a variety of scenes and images. There's a lovely shot of the Grand Canyon for the adventurous bedbug. The iconic Nastasia Kinski with the snake is a favorite, perhaps because of all that skin and the nature. Still, many go in for the simple photo of the New York City hotel bed to make their pet feel right at home.
2013 was the year in which people started keeping bed bugs as pets. Your next story of what got hot during this last year comes from Maz Jobrani.
First, there was MySpace, then came Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vine. It seems every day there's a new social website for kids to keep up with. How is a teen to manage it all? Easy, by multitasking. Vilemandar Patel, a web designer in Silicon Valley, has come up with the latest website, FootFoot, which allows kids to social media with their feet while they're using their hands to text, Instagram, or tweet on another phone. My daughter was confused. Dad, she said, should I close my Twitter account now that I spend most of my time on Vine? What about Instagram? It's too much to do. And so I developed FootFoot, which allows my little angel to update all of her sites with her feet while she's using her hands to text or maybe even eat her dinner for once. The one drawback is that there has been an increase of foot cramps in kids aged 10 to 15 recently. Patel was quoted as saying, if your feet aren't enough, I am working on a new site that allows you to update your status with other body parts. I'm calling it FaceBot.
Let me just say, Moz, that I know now from long experience that there's nothing our listeners appreciate more and write in to let us know how much they appreciate than your ethnic accents.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm anticipating a wave of real enthusiasm for that.
Yeah. Well, I toned the accent down intentionally. I'm actually married to an Indian woman, so if
that's not going to help any of us, Moz. But Moz's tale is how 2013 became the year in which all the teenagers started using FootFoot, which allowed them to do one social media thing with their feet while another with their hands. Your last story of something that's the new black, at least in 2013, comes from Faith Saley.
If you want to capture one of the strangest trends of 2013, then say cheese. No, we're not talking selfies. We're talking baby names. BabyCenter.com reports that an estimated 72 American newborns were named Cheese this year. That's a 450% increase in the number of cheese babies. So move over, Aiden and Olivia, Madison and Jackson. You're just not cheesy enough. Other names making the list this year were 36 newborns named Phone and 70 little rascals named Butterbean. Those babies are luckier than the 34 freaks in 1995 and three kids born in 2010 named Poopy. Baby Center, which offers parents-to-be background on potential baby names, helpfully provides the following about the name Cheese. Quote, origin of cheese is cheese. Meaning of cheese is cheese. Not to be outpaced in the trend-setting department, celebrity watchers are betting that Jay-Z and Beyonce will legally change their daughter's name to Blue Cheese Ivy.
All right. In 2013, one of these things happened. Was it from Paula, people started to keep bed bugs as pets? From Maz Jobrani, the rise of FootFoot, an app that allows you to do social media with your feet? Or from Faith Saley, people started naming their babies cheese in larger and larger numbers. Which of these is the real trend story from 2013?
I'm going to go with Faith. I work in a middle school, and I have seen and heard some unusual names.
Really?
Yes.
Any cheeses yet?
No, I haven't. But I could totally see this happening.
Okay, you chose Faith's story, the one about the name of cheese being given to babies. Well, to bring you the correct answer, we spoke to someone familiar with the real story.
A few dozen people this year in their survey named their baby Cheese.
Well done. That was Dan Amira, senior editor for New York Magazine. He wrote the very disapproving post about this trend of cheese becoming a popular or more popular baby name. Congratulations, Adrian. You got it right. You earned a point. You earned a point for Cheese Saley.
Thank you, Adrian.
You're welcome.
And Carl Castle will, of course, record the greeting on your home voicemail.
Awesome.
Isn't it, though? Thank you so much for playing with us today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Crockpot and Greer and Slippery Brie, all of these cheeses, they happen to me. Oh, please. Somebody ring the cheese alarm.
And now the game where people on the way up are reminded what it's like down at the bottom, in a game called Not My Job. The latest movie by Joel and Ethan Coen, Inside Llewyn Davis, is a lot like their other movies, in that a guy endures a lot of terrible things that happen to him. This one's different, though, in that this time, the guy seems to deserve it. Oscar Isaac plays and sings the role of Llewyn Davis, and he joins us now. Oscar Isaac, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thanks, Pete. Happy to be on.
Well, happy to have you. We got to see the movie in a screening. It's terrific, as everybody will soon find out. You are terrific in it. I'm very interested in knowing what the role was described as. You know, because when these things go out, they say, we're looking for somebody who's this. What do they describe the role as?
Not Dylan, was what it said at the bottom of the page. It said,
not Dylan.
This guy is not Dylan. He's not the genius poet. This is the blue-collar workman.
Right. And part of his character, I don't think I'm giving anything away here. He's at least he's not very well-liked by the people around him.
That's accurate.
Yes.
Yeah.
And is that something that they asked you to show right off? Can you be a bit of a jerk?
Well, no. I mean, no. I think this is a guy that's pretty disconnected and you know, he's... Life is squeezing him, and these are the noises that he's making. He's busy, too busy surviving to worry about things like empathy.
Right, kindness. Your co-star in this movie is an orange cat.
Yeah.
That you carry around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any challenging moments with that cat, Oscar?
Every moment was a challenging moment.
Really?
Because there was like four or five of them, because you can't train a cat.
Wait a minute, you can't?
Well, we couldn't train ours, so we just got like four or five different cats that did one thing. You know, like if we needed the one cat that can walk, point A to point B, we had that cat. If we needed a cat that would just kind of be numb and semi-sedated, comatose, that's the one that I would carry around. And then you had the really squirrely one that you needed to jump around when you needed, you know, an action cat scene. And that would be the one they would tie to me by a wire.
Yeah.
What was
Wait
your
a minute,
favorite?
I'm sorry, hold on. They tied the cat to you with a wire?
Yes.
So you're on, so they said, we're about to do the scene and we need the cat to jump around. Why did they tie it to you?
Because they don't want it to go run off into the subway and get run over, you know, or yeah, whatever. And so what do you think a cat does when it doesn't want to be tied to you?
Mm-hmm. What does it do, Oscar?
It scratches your face, neck. And then you know what happens? It gets away from the wire anyway. It breaks the wire.
So there you are on the set of the Coen Brothers film, chained to an orange cat that hates you.
This is like, and really just hates the movie business in general.
Yeah. This is like a sick remake of The Defiant Ones. This is awesome. Did you have a favorite of the multi-cats that you used to play this cat?
The comatose one.
Oh, sure. I was amazed watching the movie, again, by how mean just about everybody in the movie is to you.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to the directors and say, guys, can I help a child across the street? Just do something to show that I'm a human being.
No, not really, because that's, you know, when he shows that he's a human being, that's what the music's there for.
Right.
Actually, he has so much to say, but he can only say it when he has a guitar in his hands.
Right. Did you, like, go to a Starbucks just so somebody would be nice to you, even if you were paying them?
I would do the opposite, actually. Before I started shooting, I would go to parties and try to interact the way Lewin does.
Yeah.
One of two things would happen. Either they would think you were a jerk and just walk the other way, or it would get really intimate really quick.
And at what point do you reveal to them that you're doing, like, you know, did you end up sleeping with somebody and then the next day saying, oh, it's just an act. I'm doing research. I'm really not into you.
That is almost exactly what happened.
Yeah. If you're serious, I want to hear the story.
I am serious.
What happened?
I went to a party, and I was forced to be at this party, and I went dressed as Lewin. It was a month before shooting, and then I was sitting in the corner just eating. I was the only person eating at the party, and this girl who ended up, she's a documentary filmmaker, so obviously she spotted the weirdo and went directly to that one.
Right.
And sat with me and talked to me for a long time, and I guess she liked the whole thing.
Well, when she found out that you were an actor and that you were in character preparing for this big role, and here I presume a bit, that you're actually a very nice, open, giving, empathetic person.
Oh, yeah.
Was she disappointed?
You know, kind of.
Yeah. Well, Oscar, we're delighted to have you with us, and we've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
It's that old-timey folk music.
So, you play a folk singer in the new movie, but what do you know about folk music, F-I-L-K? That is the odd subgenre of music written by and for science fiction and fantasy fans, sometimes in homage to their favorite characters and stories. So we're going to ask you three questions about the world of folk music. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine, singing his love song to Doctor Who. Carl, who is Oscar Isaac playing for?
Oscar is playing for David Lohse of Kenneth Square, Pennsylvania.
Are you ready to play, Oscar?
Yeah.
All right. First question, much like the folk scene, the filk scene has its own customs and language. Which of these is a real term from the filk scene? A whiny cyber songwriter, B, Princess Eukalea, or C, a token bardic circle?
I mean, Princess Eukalea is pretty awesome.
It is.
I have to go with that.
Princess Eukalea. I like it too, but it is in fact a token bardic circle.
Mm.
It is. It's a way of organizing a group of folk singers in a room.
Okay.
All right, but you still have two more chances here. Folk songs are often bawdy. Which of these is a real R-rated folk song? A reconsideration of anatomical docking maneuvers in zero gravity. B, I will kiss you on the mouth as soon as I figure out which hole that is. Or C, my son looks suspiciously like Captain Kirk.
I'm going to go with A on that one.
And you are correct.
Ah, nice. Oh, boy.
A reconsideration of anatomical docking maneuvers in zero gravity. Here's a sample lyric. Weightless copulation induces frustration.
I think we've all felt that.
Here's your last question. You could win it all here. Now, if you're hanging out with a bunch of filkers, right, as I'm sure we all will do someday,
mm-hmm.
If something erotic, sexy, or perverted comes up in conversation, a filker might say, A, what is this strange feeling? B, that's filthy. Or C, lime jello.
What? Lime jello?
Lime jello.
Ah, lime jello. Ooh. You know what? Let's go with A.
You're going to go with what is this strange feeling? So
yeah.
Like if something erotic comes up, these people are like, what is this feeling? I don't understand this sensation.
Right, you're right. They wouldn't do that.
They wouldn't. Probably not.
So, yes, then it's lime jello.
It is, in fact, lime jello.
Nice.
It's an inside joke, apparently. According to a list of inside jokes among filkers we found, it refers to something that happened with lime jello in a hotel bathtub many years ago at a filk gathering.
Of course.
Of course it does. Carl, how did Oscar Isaac do on our quiz?
Oscar had two correct answers, so he wins for David Lohse.
Well done. Oscar Isaac stars as Llewyn Davis in the new movie Inside Llewyn Davis from the Coen Brothers. It's in theaters now. Go see it. He is terrific, as is the movie. Oscar Isaac, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks.
Bye-bye, Oscar. Good luck.
Well, I had a man, strong and tall. He moved his body like a cannonball. Well, fare thee well, my honey, fare thee well. I remember one evening in the pouring in my heart was an aching pain.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Faith Saley, Maz Jobrani, and Paula Poundstone. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. In just a minute... Zombie Carl is hungry for rhymes in our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, Give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Faith, an engineer at Facebook let slip this week that the site is preparing to roll out a new feature. What is it?
I think I need a hint, please.
Well, instead of a thumbs up, it'll be like two arms held out as if for a hug.
It's like a like, but
no,
it means
well,
more?
Sometimes people post news that maybe is not so happy or positive.
Right.
And to say that you like this tragic news wouldn't be appropriate.
Right.
So instead you'd want to...
Say, I'm listening, I hear you, I'm with you, I feel you.
Exactly. A sympathize button is what they might add to Facebook.
Wow.
This is very important. It comes up like when your friend announces her dog died or he got a bad diagnosis. It's like, turns out I have scabies. Four people like this. So now, coming on Facebook, the sympathize button, when you're sorry enough for someone's loss that you're willing to click a little button.
Okay, you know what they need? Not that, by the way. We don't need that. Because the very idea that we're sympathizing with one another over Facebook speaks to our problem as a nation. There needs to be a button you can push where there's a finger that points up and out. And so it's saying to you, you go, oh, you know, my dog died. Now I'm Facebooking about it. And someone goes, get up and get out.
I think people post a lot of stupid stuff. So we also need to have not just thumbs up, thumbs down, but maybe like the Italian thing. Like maybe you grab yourself. I got your comment right here.
You're thinking like a little button that indicates a rude crotch grab.
A crotch grab.
All right, panelists, it is now time to bring back a game from very long ago.
Monopoly?
No. It's a game from this show, and we call it...
Guess the Newsmaker.
So it's time to welcome to our show one Ricardo Baca. Ricardo, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Now, panelists, Mr. Baca here, Ricardo, has a new job. As far as we know, he is the first person to hold this job anywhere ever. Your job, guess what that job is. You'll each get a chance to ask a yes or no question. The first panelist to guess who it is wins a point. Paula, ask your question.
Hey, Mr. Baca, does it involve computers?
Somewhat.
Maz.
Do you have to go to an office every day?
No.
No, so he's out in the field. Okay. Mm. Faith?
Ricardo, are you dealing with a formerly illegal substance?
Yes.
Yes, he is dealing with a formerly illegal substance. What could it be? Now it moves on to Paula.
How was that an intuitive guess? There's absolutely nothing that was said that led to such a guess.
Are you like an FBI profiler or something?
All right, Mr. Baca. Have you had relations with Faye Salie? All right, so he's on the field. Are you a pot harvester?
I am not.
I'm gonna throw you guys a hint. Mr. Baca is calling us from his home in Colorado.
Oh, mountains.
Well, the weed thing was a good place to go.
Yeah. No, mountains were forbidden a while ago.
Okay. Paul asked if he was a pot harvester.
Oh, a pot reviewer?
No.
Oh, but you are awfully close. Oh. What we're going to do is we're going to say Maz got it because although Mr. Baca is not a pot reviewer, they will be working for him because Mr. Baca is the first ever pot editor for the Denver Post.
Wow.
Wow. Congratulations.
As far as you know. So the point goes to Maz. Ricardo, so you are going to be in charge of the new section, I think it's online for the Denver Post, that will cover the new legal marijuana market in Colorado.
It is, yeah. We're creating a blog out here covering the culture of cannabis.
The culture of cannabis. How did you get this job? How do you apply to be the pod editor?
Exactly right. Well, I started a music festival for the paper, and then I started a music blog, and both of those things have done fairly well. So I think they thought of me when this position came up.
Yeah. They went down to your music festival. They took a whiff. They're like, this is the guy. We are assuming pot editors must be constantly paranoid they're going to get fired.
Well, I do work for a newspaper.
That's true. So you're going to be hiring marijuana critics, right?
I am, yeah. I'm in the process of getting some reports back from them. I assigned them each a strain or an edible or a soda, and I'm starting to get those back.
What do you mean, or a soda?
Oh, the market is huge. You can get pot-infused olive oil and sodas. It's crazy. They have everything.
Don't the qualities that would make you a great pot critic make you a horrible employee? It's like, yes, well, I sit around, I smoke pot all day. That's great. We can't hire you.
Well, one person gave me an actual resume for their work history, and then also a pot resume for their history in terms of when they smoked it in Switzerland and when they first came across it.
Wow. I'm assuming that as the pot editor, you're going to have to be, you know, partaking yourself to do your job correctly, right?
You know, I don't necessarily need to, but...
Go ahead.
It's legal.
Are you going to have deadlines?
Oh, yeah. Many, many deadlines.
Okay.
Yeah, how's that going to work?
Well, Ricardo Baca, we're delighted to talk to you. Good luck in your
Congrats.
New job. Ricardo Baca is the new online pot editor for the Denver Post. Thank you so much for being with us.
Nice.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924, or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our show at Memphis, Tennessee, in December 19th. Tickets are still available. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, my name is Gary, and I'm from Tsawwassen, British Columbia, Canada.
Oh, wow, you're a Canadian listener. How great to hear from you. We love to hear from Canada.
Thank you.
British Columbia, I've never been. I know it's beautiful, though.
Where I live is approximately 2 miles north of the U.S. border.
Yeah.
And maybe 120 miles north of Seattle.
Okay. So, do you smuggle a lot?
That would be telling.
Well, welcome to the show, Gary. Carl Castle is going to perform for you 3 news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on 2 of the limericks, you'll be a big winner. Ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Here is your first limerick.
Flat-packed furniture we like to flog. IKEA, fake wood from fake logs. While meatballs you get, we keep watch of your pet. There's a green space that's just for your...
dog.
Right, indeed, dog. Very good. IKEA Germany is now offering special parking spots for dogs, little individual patches of AstroTurf with water bowls. You leave your pup there, and when you're done shopping, you simply pick your dog up and flat pack from the warehouse, bring it home, and reassemble it according to the vaguely sinister wordless directions. Here is your second limerick, Gary.
As a woman, I care about stock reports, but I'm weak when a hot young male fox cavorts. Investments get risky when I'm feeling frisky. I can't touch a pair of men's...
boxer shorts.
Yes, indeed. Well done. According to a new scientific study from Belgium, women are more likely to take financial and workplace risks if they first touch a pair of men's boxer shorts. This is because, scientists say, women associate the boxers with sex, and sex triggers risky behavior.
So if you're a real estate agent, you should bring boxers to the place if you have a female buyer, and just be like, before I try to sell you this house, just feel these boxers I got.
If you could figure out a way to do that, it might work.
There's a problem with the study.
I knew you'd think so.
First of all, why? But... you're not saying that they're saying if women see sexual images. They didn't even use sexual images. So you don't know that it couldn't be another thing, like a hand towel. Like if they'd showed them a hand towel.
No, but listen, you're...
And then they're like, you know what? I bet it all!
Here is your last limerick.
My driver is chatty and gabby. His physique is unkempt and quite flabby. But this calendar shows that its essence just glows. It has pinups of my New York...
cabbie.
Yes, my New York cabbie. Just in time for the holidays, New York City is releasing its 2014 NYC Taxi Driver's Pinup Calendar. It features 12 of New York's hackiest cabbies in a variety of steamy poses, draping their bare skin over seats you're going to have to sit on someday. The calendar is currently backordered, probably due to the fun scratch and try not to sniff feature. What's interesting is, even as they pose semi-naked for the camera, they're still talking on their cell phones in a language you've never heard before.
Want me to do the accent?
Carl, how did Gary do?
Well, Gary had two correct answers, Peter, and that's good enough to win our prize.
All right, Gary.
Thank you so much, Gary. Thanks for playing. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
We have a tie for first place. Miles Giobrani and Faith Saley both have 3 points. Paula Poundstone has 2.
Paula, you are in third place. You'll
yes.
start first. The clock will start when they begin your first question, fill in the blank.
Yes.
Conservative groups complained after Congress reached a bipartisan deal for a new blank.
Budget.
Right. On Wednesday, Time magazine named blank as their person of the year.
Pope Francis,
right.
I believe.
Google, Apple, Facebook, Microsoft, and 4 other major companies formally called for reforms to the blank's surveillance practices.
NSA.
Right. On Monday, Bob Filner, the former mayor of blank, was sentenced to 90 days home confinement for harassing women.
San Diego.
Right. A British man whose prosthetic hand was stolen got it back after it was found in a blank.
Cuddle house.
A second hand shop. News that drinking blank doesn't really help with weight loss is causing sales to slip.
I don't know, weight loss drinks.
No, diet soda. Carlos Santana and Billy Joel were among the people honored for the contributions to the arts at last Sunday's blank ceremony.
Kennedy Center.
Yes, Kennedy Center honors a California man who stole a painting of a nude woman from a hotel, was sentenced to blank.
Buy stocks.
No, he was sentenced to write out, "I will not get drunk at a wedding and go steal the naked picture over the urinal over and over again."
No.
You know how it is. You're drunk, peeing at a fancy hotel. You see a painting of a nude that strikes your fancy over the urinal, so you stuff it into your overnight bag. After writing out his punishment, the man was allowed to join the other kids at drunk recess. Carl, how did Paula do in our quiz?
Paula had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. She now has 12 points, and Paula has taken the lead.
All right, Paula, well done. All right, we have flipped a coin, and Faith is elected to go next. So, Faith, fill in the blank. NASA ordered a partial shutdown of the blank after one of its 2 cooling systems failed Wednesday.
International Space Station.
Right. To combat drug-resistant superbugs, the FDA announced new guidelines for the use of blank in livestock.
Antibiotics.
Right. This week, Mary Barra became the first woman CEO of a major automaker when she was named to head blank.
General Motors.
Right. Saying no nation will dominate Russia's military, blank budgeted $700 billion to modernize and build its defenses.
Putin.
Right. An Iowa man caught with stolen beef jerky in his pants claimed blank.
That he was a vegan.
No, that he was not the one who put it there. Yeah. To celebrate his 90th birthday, former host Bob Barker made a surprise appearance on blank.
Price is Right.
Right. Best known for her role as Baroness Elsa Schrader in the movie version of blank, Eleanor Parker died Monday at age 91.
Sound of Music.
Right. A customer has received a coupon for a replacement after opening her box of frozen Snackatizers jalapeno poppers and allegedly finding a blank.
Lizard.
A set of eyeglasses. When the customer opened his box of frozen Snackatizer jalapeno poppers, she expected to indulge in some bite-sized morsels of cheddar cheese with a jalapeno kick, not to find herself chowing down on someone else's eyewear. When the customer told the company, they apologized, saying, "Sorry, we'll send you a coupon." But that was only after their first response, which was, "Oh, there they are." Carl, how did Faith do in our quiz?
Well, Faith had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. She now has 15 points and has taken the lead.
All right. And Carl, how many then does Maz Giobrani need to win?
6 to tie, 7 to win outright.
All right, Maz. This is for the game. Fill in the blank, the merger making American Airlines and blank, the world's largest airline, was finalized this week.
U.S. Airways.
Right. The FCC voted Thursday to explore lifting the ban on using blanks on flights.
cell phones.
Right. As its lie of the year, the PolitiFact website named President Obama's promise that blank.
You can keep your, you know, your insurance.
Right. If you like your insurance, you can keep it. Yeah. A family lost in the Nevada wilderness during a massive blank was found safe this week.
Storm.
Yes. Snowstorm.
Yeah.
A Canadian supermarket is in trouble for selling bacon, chicken breasts, and steaks that had been blanked.
Washed.
Stuffed down a shoplifter's pants and recovered. 12 years a slave, an American hustle. Led in the nominations for this year's Blank Awards.
Golden Globes.
Right. A judge in Quebec labeled a Canadian man a quarrelsome litigant after he sued blank.
In Quebec, sued blank? Alex Trebek.
He sued the Dominican Republic because it rained during his vacation. Because as it all know, when it rains, you have two choices. Long, drawn-out court battle against a sovereign nation that, according to all precedent, you have no hope of winning. Or... an umbrella. Carl, did Maz do well enough to win?
He needed at least 6 to tie, but he had just 5 correct answers. So with 15 points, Faith Saley is this week's champion. Yes.
Since we now know that cheese was the baby name of the year in 2013, we will ask our panelists in just a minute what will be the big new baby name next year and why. But first, let me tell you that support for our Chicago shows is provided by Hyatt Hotels in downtown Chicago. Booking information is at Hyatt.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Pimsleur Language Program, celebrating 50 years and offering portable courses in 50 languages and an app to learn them on, Pimsleur.com. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives, at GatesFoundation.org. And Kobo, with the Aura e-reader, featuring an edge-to-edge, low-glare, pearl e-ink screen. Available now at independent bookstores, IndieBound.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug in a hammock, Berman, benevolent overlord. Philip Goedeke writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Tyler Green. Our CFO is Anne Nian. Our intern is Stephen Tathias. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Dolarchik and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Liederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover, Miles Dernboss, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our production coordinator is Robert Approbation Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will be the hot new baby name in 2014? Faith Saley.
For contrarian parents, the big name will be Gluten Full.
Paula Poundstone.
Big Screen Television.
Maz Jobrani.
Since this year it was cheese, next year it'll be Mac, so people can go around saying, meet my kids, Mac and Cheese.
If any babies get those names, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell
Thank
Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Faith Saley, Paula Poundstone, Maz Jobrani. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week, Memphis, Tennessee. This is NPR.